This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Daniel Dickinson. In this week's programme, an emergency response to HIV has been launched in Libya following the deaths of 10 adolescents. And a Kenyan volunteer says giving his time and experience for free is contagious. But first, the killing of two peacekeepers in the Central African Republic, CAR, has been condemned by the UN mission there. The Blue Helmets, who were part of a battalion from Morocco, were escorting fuel trucks when they were ambushed by unknown assailants. Two other peacekeepers were injured, one seriously, according to Vladimir Montero, spokesperson for the UN Stabilization Mission, MINUSCA. 3 years of unrest and instability in CAR have left more than half the country in need of aid. Eleuterio Guevane asked Mr. Montero in the capital, Bangui, what MINUSCA knew about the attack.
On 3rd January in the afternoon, about 60 kilometers west of Obo, it's in the southeast of the Central African Republic, the MINUSCA force, peacekeepers from the Moroccan battalion, were ambushed by a group of 30 unknown armed elements. And they were escorting fuel trucks from a locality called Zemio Tuobo. And the attack resulted in two Moroccan peacekeepers killed and two injured, one severely, but both are receiving treatment. The aggressors led into the bush. We don't have any more details on this incident. MINUSCA, of course, condemn what happened, and as stated by the representative of the Secretary General, everything will be done to find the responsibles and bring them to justice.
And what is the mission doing due to the nature of these attacks?
The attacks are not targeting peacekeepers as it happened yesterday, but also humanitarian actors and particularly the civilian population. And the force has been multiplying the patrols throughout the country. The force also changed its strategy, creating a permanent operational basis to respond to all kinds of threats. This is one thing. But the most important thing for us is to support the dialogue process set up by the President of the Republic in order to disarm the armed groups. It's extremely important. In December 2016, a new meeting took place with 11 out of 14 armed groups, and MINUSCA is still pushing to make sure that all groups adhere to this dialogue.
Eleuterio Guevane speaking to Vladimir Montero of MINUSCA. An emergency response to a rise in HIV infections in Libya has been launched by the World Health Organization, WHO. A lack of antiretroviral drugs in the North African country to treat the virus that leads to AIDS resulted in the deaths of 10 adolescents last year. The UN Health Agency says there were more than 6,300 registered HIV patients there in 2016. Mustafa Al-Gamal asked the WHO spokesperson in Libya, Dr. Ahmed Salem, about the agency's response.
On 22nd of December 2016, WHO Libya shipped HIV medicines to Benghazi. Urgent response was based on a health authority's request that HIV patients are dying because of the unavailability of the HIV medicines. This shipment will cover the acute needs for 3 months. After 3 months, more children, adolescents, and female need suffer because of unavailability of that medicine. In 2016, about 10 adolescents aged 18 to 19, including 4 female, died alone in Benghazi Center for Infection Disease because of the unavailability of those medicines.
So in Libya, much like many other nations in North Africa or in the Middle East, cultural barriers could be a hindrance. What does WHO do about that?
On the World AIDS Day, 1st of December 2016, WHO country office has adopted the theme for this year to end stigma and discrimination in the healthcare setting. And the national HIV team in Libya has worked on forming a national committee. This national committee has a subgroup who work on legal aspects for the rights of the people living with HIV, social mobilization and access to the service, and more. Further activity will be addressed to strengthen the surveillance and the self-testing in the health service providing centers.
Dr. Ahmed Salem, the WHO spokesperson in Libya. Volunteering is contagious in a positive way, according to a representative from a Kenya-based organization who attended a UN-supported conference on volunteering recently held in Mexico. According to the UN, every year more than 1 billion people globally offer their time and experience without being paid. Volunteerism is seen as a powerful way to tackle development challenges across the world. Pierre-Marc René spoke to Frederick Sabir during his trip to Mexico.
Volunteering is love. It is sharing. It is caring. It is ensuring that a people, a society, and communities live together, work together to make their lives better.
And what is your experience as a volunteer for you? What is the benefits for you or for your population or your country?
First of all, volunteering is fulfilling to the heart of a volunteer. You know, you wake up every day and you feel good. You want to go do it again and again. And I've learned another good word I will tell you. Volunteering is contagious. And it is contagious in a positive way. Mm-hmm. In which sense that people see what volunteers do. And they would also want to win, to join, so that together they can do something for a common goal that is good for the people. And so for me, benefits of being a volunteer in Kenya for a little while, I want to do it longer, is one, it has allowed me to see what is the need of the people. It has also allowed me to look into myself and find out how I can contribute to the needs of my own people. It also provided an opportunity for me to meet many people that are doing great things around, not only in Kenya, but around the world. Mm-hmm. It has given me an opportunity to learn and to have that, you know, you feel elated to be amongst those whose concern is just doing something that brings positive change.
And they told me you received help from volunteers too, right?
You know, when I came to Mexico, mm-hmm. my concern and my focus was to attend the IAVE conference. Mm-hmm. But then I wasn't feeling well when I landed. And so I had to seek medical support. In the process of seeking medical support, the government came in by way of many loving people who are part of the organizing of the conference. And if you allow me, I would mention Susana Barneche, who acted smart, and I've kept on saying this, to ensure that I got urgent medical attention. And this is how I ended up being treated at the General Hospital of Mexico, mm-hmm. where I got a surgery and had a correction on my lung, and now I'm feeling better. Mm-hmm. And I would tell you that this is so heavy in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I have to thank so much the government of Mexico.
And finally, what will be your message to the people as a volunteer?
You know, my message to everyone who wants to stand out and call themselves a volunteer is simple. Do it out of a pure heart. Do it for the good of others. And if you have some motives behind it, then you are not a volunteer. You better look for something else to do. And so my encouragement to the volunteers across the world is that actions that we take, they may look so little, they may look so simple, but when joined together, they make great impact. And so we should not stop. We should keep on doing what we have to do, what we need to do, for the good of our people, for the good of our countries, for the good of the world.
Frederick Sabir speaking to Pierre-Marc René. And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.